Good morning, everybody. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here at Southwest Central Church of Christ, gathering online once again. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the pastor of this congregation. And again, we're so glad that you're here. I see a lot of people who have joined, who are, even as I'm speaking this, I see people's names popping up. If you are sitting with a couple of people, wherever you are watching this, listening in, will you just type in who you're sitting with just so we can have maybe a record of folks who have gathered this morning? We would love to see that today. Now is a good time to remind you that that we also share communion every single week together. So grab some bread, grab some tortillas, crackers, whatever you have in your kitchen. Then grab something to drink as well. If you have some grape juice, some wine, some water even, any of that will be just fine. We'll be sharing the Lord's Supper together later in our service. At the end of our service, Chelsea will come and lead us in a benediction. In this congregation, whether online or in person, we gather as a people who love God. And we gather as a people who center ourselves on the life and the death and the life again of Jesus, all of which moves us directly to the table, breaking bread and drinking from the cup. And in that regard, I hope that these very simple services these last few weeks have been encouraging in faith to you, whether you watch them live or catch them later on our Facebook page. I hope that you've been reassured in spirit at least once a week by a short word, by sharing the table with each other, together yet apart, and through the prayer songs that we sing. Speaking of singing, I want you to know how grateful I am for Brent these days. Brent is the one who picks out these songs very purposefully, reads the lyrics, thinks about the flow of the morning, what we're going to be preaching about. He picks these songs and then delivers them so well, either as a song that we can sing along to or a song just to receive as prayer. I cannot tell you just how thankful I am for his service at this time. Brent has two songs that he will sing over us in a little bit. Well, if you're like me, you cannot tell if the days are crawling by or flying by. It's wild to think that this is our fifth week apart from each other. Even wilder to think that there is necessarily no end in sight, at least right now for us in this manner. We've been lighting candles each week, not only to mark our absence from one another, but also in hope for the day when God will call us all back together in this place. So we continue to light candles in trust of God, not only for that, but in trust of God for all things. So we're going to light five candles this week. We have five of them just over my shoulder, and Cora is going to come and help me do that. As we do every Sunday, whether apart or together, we speak a psalm over one another to begin our services. This week comes from Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Every good thing I have comes from you. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave me. You have not abandoned me. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Let's sing together.
This morning we have two songs, All the Heavens and God is My Refuge. God is My Refuge is one of those songs that in ordinary times we don't normally turn to. When times are happy and everything is normal, we don't think about seeking shelter. But this is one that really speaks to me in this time of uncertainty. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of need. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend indeed. Lord, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. You make me to lie down in peace. You lead me beside the still waters of life. My soul is restored at your feet. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of need. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend indeed. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will not fear any harm. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and you will not leave me alone. God is my refuge and my strength, a present help in time of need. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my father, my friend indeed. My father, my friend indeed. Now, All the Heavens. As your children gather in peace, all the angels sing in heaven. In your temple, all that I seek is to glimpse your holy presence. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. The angels exalt you on high. What a kingdom to depart. But you left your throne in the sky just to live inside my heart. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me. I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee.
Thanks, Brent. All right, to my young friends who are part of the elementary class or the Roots class, if you will grab your Leaves bulletin, look something like this. Hopefully you still have those with you. Maybe you already have them with you, and you've been following along on this left-hand side, the order for our gathering today. We've already done our Psalm 16, as you see. On the back page, if you'll turn it to the back, please, you'll see that there's a big blank spot right here. This is where I'm going to ask for your participation specifically during our service. I'm going to preach on a text that I want you to draw, okay? I'm going to preach on John chapter 20 in just a moment. And whatever pops into your mind, I want you to draw that scene right here. And then parents or guardians, if you don't mind, after my sermon is done, I think you can take a picture of what was drawn and then upload it in the comments section. Can you do that, please? Maybe right after our sermon and maybe our Lord's table time. And this can be any of you. It doesn't have to be just our Roots age kids. If some of you want to draw the scene that is emerging from your mind as I'm preaching, that is just fine. Take a picture of it and put it on the comments section below. So I'm going to read this section for our young friends and for all of us. This is what I'm going to be preaching on, John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." All right, so whatever comes to your mind to draw, you can do so in that very top page on your leaves bulletin. All right. Corey, you can have this if you want. There you go. Let's pray together, please. God, by your mercy and by your grace, by your Spirit who does all things well, pour through me now the gift of preaching, that your kingdom may continue to come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. When we met last Sunday on Easter morning, we ended our text and our sermon with Mary Magdalene being sent by the resurrected Jesus to go tell the disciples what she had just experienced. She does, hustling to the house where all the disciples were gathered, and preached these words, "I have seen the Lord." We don't know how her sermon was received by those disciples, if they jumped with joy, if they asked her clarifying questions, if they thought that she was out of her mind, if they rolled over and went back to sleep. What we do know is that by evening of that same Easter day, all the disciples, the ones who had followed him around for several years at this point, are still in that same house with the door shut, the deadbolt locks engaged, the curtains pulled all the way down, the conversations in hushed tones, the oil lamps barely burning. Why have they locked themselves in? They are afraid. They are scared. They are fearful that the same ones who sought the death penalty for Jesus just two days ago are now on the prowl for any remaining link to him. Snuff out his protest movement by fumigating the city of anyone else who might try to take up his cause. Jesus' disciples, of course, are the prime candidates to do so, but other than Mary, the disciples, it seems, are reluctant to carry on that mantle. Easter for them is not a celebration, but a threat. They don't want to end up with a similar fate of Jesus, and who am I to blame them for that? So they've locked their doors, and as suffocating as it might be to exist in there, at least they are safe. Nobody is coming in on their watch. Except Jesus shows up, bypassing their security system altogether. His sudden presence surprises the disciples as much as he surprised Mary at the cemetery. How did he get in anyway? Did he pick the lock when nobody was looking? Did he Casper the ghost his way in, floating through the walls? Did he apparate to the living room like Harry Potter might have done? However he did it, Jesus immediately reshapes the room with his presence. "Peace be with you," he says. The one who is crucified yet lives on speaks a blessing directly to their hiding fears. A blessing of peace, a blessing of presence, a blessing of courage. "Peace be with you" is applied in the exact spot where they think God's peace is impossible, where everything but peace exists. Jesus' resurrected body is exhibit A for the opposite of peace, with all those scars quite visible and unavoidable. Those remain a part of him. They did not disappear. But a new order has come along, and he has the final say. Not a word of revenge or hatred or fear-mongering. Jesus faced death and all its associates head-on at the cross, and what he speaks is peace. It is really him. And the disciples are overjoyed. Jesus then blesses his followers a second time. "Peace be with you." If the first blessing addressed their locked away fears, this blessing is perhaps a preemptive one for what's about to exit his mouth. "Peace be with you," Jesus says. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." It's a fascinating turn of events. The blessing of peace attaches with it a commissioning, a sending out, and a calling. "Exactly as the Father sent me, I am sending you out that way. You are to continue the work that God the Father began in me." To affirm and validate that commissioning, what does Jesus do? What does he do? He breathes on them. A completely frightening experience nowadays, of course, but not then, not in that house, at least not in the same way. Jesus breathes on them in the same way that God breathes into the dust of the earth to bring about life in Genesis chapter 2, and then again in Ezekiel when God breathes life into the dry and dead bones in that valley. It's as if a new creation is happening once again behind those locked doors. Jesus breathes on them, and as he does so, a preview of Pentecost exhales from his mouth, and the disciples receive the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit that will blow wherever it chooses, breaking chains and bringing wholeness and stirring up trouble. This is the Holy Spirit that will invasively and creatively animate the movements and the words of Jesus' disciples. This is the Holy Spirit, as we read about in John chapter 20, that will give them the power to forgive sins or not to forgive them. That may be the scariest prospect of them all. Though it will take some time for them to believe it, the disciples are now equipped with everything they need to go forth. While it takes way more than a 10-minute live streaming sermon to digest all of this, the point, I think, for those first disciples, as much as it is for those of us watching today, is this. The Word who became flesh and dwelt among us is now the Word who became flesh and dwells within us. The one who moved into our neighborhood, as we read about in John chapter 1, now commissions us to live fully in whatever neighborhood we find ourselves in. There is no need for bells and whistles in order to live out the resurrected life of Jesus. No need for smoke and mirrors. No need even for church building, as we ourselves have come to rediscover. With God's Easter breath filling our lungs, there is enough power to unlatch the doors of fear and security that we create for ourselves. With the living Spirit of God breathed out by the risen Jesus, we are already equipped with every single thing that we need. It's here that I think of you. Because of my work, I get to hear rumors of what the Spirit of God is doing among you. With the virus very much a part of our daily existence, I think of our frontline people in the medical field, like Jessica Vaughn, nursing and caring and leading and keeping us all updated. Reggie Gibbs, too, in his supervisory role at the hospital nearly every single day. And also Sherry Lucas, Stephen Lucas, and Don Marie, vitally important administrative roles in our healthcare system. And Mary Odell, who recently retired from her work but still volunteers her time sitting with families in the waiting rooms. I think of Stu Zimmerman, whose decades of research and study and teaching about the physical body has far-reaching significance to what we are currently experiencing in our world. I also think of Kumi Wachenfeld, whose flag-making shop now makes cloth face masks instead. I think of Grace Stansel, who is a part of the area's emergency response task force. I think of those of you who put together care packages of food each week to bring to our neighbors across the street from our church building. I think about the people who've sent me cash and gift cards to purchase food at grocery stores for people who need it. I think about you parents who've taken on the roles of teacher and playmate and scout troop leader and technology liaison. And then at the end of each day, you lay a gentle hand upon your children's head as they sleep, giving thanks to God for them. And finally, I think about those of you who stay home and hope. Some might argue that while all these things are nice things to do but aren't necessarily spiritual, I would say that what these folks are doing is the breath work of the Holy Spirit. They are a sent people participating in the resurrecting work of Jesus. We are all a sent people, each of us in our own unique way, each of us also bearing the reminding scars and open wounds of what a hurting world can do. Yet the swirling Spirit of God dwelling within us still calls the church onward. And Jesus blesses us all just the same with all that we need, saying these words, "Peace be with you." And together we say aloud or type, "Amen and amen." It's the peace that Jesus offers and gives us that draws us to the table. We see in the broken bread that in peace Jesus gave his body for the sake of the world. We see in the poured cup Jesus brought to light all the death sicknesses the world could throw at him. And he brought peace. As we eat and drink, we do so in gratitude for the God who in love gave and in love rose again. I'm going to pray, and then for a few minutes, feel free to share the bread and the cup with whomever is around you. If it's just by yourself, that's good too. I'll come back up in a couple minutes. Actually, Chelsea's going to come back up and talk about offering and give a benediction. So let's pray together. Holy God, You who show up in surprise. You who speaks peace. You who give the Spirit. You who sends us out. Fill us again with your bread and your blood, with your life. As we break bread and drink from the cup, we give you thanks. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It is so good to see all of you virtually, wherever you find yourselves this morning. I want to talk about a couple things as we're kind of ending today, and then share a couple thoughts. As many of you have been heavy on my hearts the last several weeks. One is I want to remind everyone that we still have online giving, or you can mail in checks right here to the church. So please continue your giving so the work of this church can move forward in loving our neighbors and providing this church family for what she needs during this time. So thank you so much for all of you who have been so faithful and diligent with your giving, and I just encourage you to continue that discipline as we are not physically gathering here in this building. So yes, giving. Also, remember to upload your children's drawings or your drawings in the comments section, like Steve said, after his sermon. And I also want to talk about Bray's Interfaith Ministries. They are still up and running and very active and low on food. So what they have done is they have asked each of the congregations in this area who are a part of them to provide one food item. Ours here at Southwest Central is dry rice. And so what you can do is you can pick up some dry rice at your next grocery store run, you know, with your mask and your gloves on. Or if you do Instacart or ordering out, just remember to put some dry rice in your order. And then you can drive on by BIM, which is just down the street here from Southwest Central. And a volunteer with mask and gloves will come out to your car and take the rice for you. So, again, they are low on food, and we are still trying to be mindful and provide what our neighborhood needs. And so I'd like for you to think about providing dry rice to them in the coming weeks. So I think that is all of the business that I have. And I just want to share a few thoughts as we are kind of closing out this morning and then read a poem over all of us. For those of you who know or who may not know, April is Counseling Awareness Month. And I'm a therapist. I'm an LPCS here in Texas. And I am still counseling every single day. In fact, I will be meeting with between 28 and 30 telehealth counseling sessions this week. And I am hearing from a variety of people in all sorts of walks of life where they are during this time of self-isolation and quarantine and spending a lot of time alone. And I just want to check in on everyone's mental health. One is, I hope that you're doing some really good mental health check-ins with yourself, asking yourself every day how you are in your mind, how you are in your body, checking in how you are spiritually. And I also want to encourage you and let you know wherever you find yourself is just fine. There is no right or wrong answer within this. And so I know that if you are on social media or following a lot of different articles in the world, everyone is encouraging you to make the most of this time and be extremely productive and come out of quarantine with all these great goals or accomplishments. And that may just not be realistic for a lot of people. Maybe getting out of bed and brushing your teeth is about as far as you can go one day because of where you are during the self-isolation and quarantine. And whether you are on the highest high and enjoying this time and being all sorts of productive and baking all the amazing things and getting all the things done in your house, that is awesome. And if you are having a hard time getting out of bed and taking care of yourself, that is okay too. And for all of us who find ourselves in the vast in-between, just be aware of where you are. And so I want to encourage you to try to do at least one thing for yourself every day. So maybe that is getting out of bed and taking a shower. Maybe that is trying out a new recipe that you've always wanted to try. Maybe that is picking up your Bible and reading a psalm and praying over yourself and the city. Maybe that is going for a walk. Maybe that is petting your cat or your dog. Maybe that is texting a friend. Wherever that is, wherever you find yourself, I just encourage you to try to do at least one thing that's outside of yourself today. And I thought this poem kind of captured this time. Not everyone's strength looks the same. Sometimes strength is grasping onto a jagged trail on the steep side of a mountain. With icy rain on your shoulders and wind on your back. Sometimes strength is continuing to push forward against the incline in pursuit of the highest peak. It's continuing the climb against heavy winds as all of the traveled miles are wearing at your knees. Sometimes strength is waking up and choosing to breathe another day. Sometimes strength is getting out of bed. Your strong might not look like her strong, and that is more than okay. You are not the same, so your strength will not look the same. Wherever you are finding your strength today, try not to compare it to others. Lean into God. Lean into hope. I'm hoping that this time is not going to last forever. I love each of you. Each of you are close in my hearts. May we pull into God. May we pull into his resurrection and his promise and hope. Be well today, my friends, and I look forward to the time we can all gather again in this room. You are loved.
All right. Peace be with you, my friends. I know that there has been a lot of glitchiness with the video streaming, and that's okay. We're going to trust God anyway with whatever God's Spirit's going to do with this. So go forth. You are a sent people, and go forth with the peace of God. Talk to you later.